The Volume.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Inside the Garage podcast. Kyle Hamilton, along with
KJ Wallace,
Connor Radigan,
Cam Hart.
And as you can see, I'm no longer inside the garage, fortunately. I've been kicked out. Boys kicked me out. Still got to pay rent, though. I'm here in the hotel, kicking it by myself, hella bored. But I miss you guys, man.
No. Miss you, dog. You smooth?
Weird night.
What you been on? It's the day to day.
Day to day, man. Just training, honestly. Like, we were just talking about how I get, bro, it's a grind. But it's like, I'm thinking, like, I'm going to come out here and it's like, done with all the Bayless, like, super hard workouts and, like, it won't be crazy. But, like, bro, they be working us. Like, it's not as long, but, like, you don't get no rest. It's just boom, boom, boom. And it's like, in the weight room, it's like 12 people who work us out. And it's like, they'll be like, I got two more minutes. I'm sending him down. Like, and they'll be like, all right, Ben, like, across the weight room. Like, first day, I was like, what is happening? Like,
everybody just flying around.
Everybody's flying around. But, like, no, it's good work because there's a bunch of good dudes out here. And at first, it's like everybody kind of feeling each other out. Like how many reps he's going to do? Like, I need to hit that at least. Like, yeah. That kind of, like, feel each other out, time joint. But, and, like, everybody's numbers. Like, what'd you get? Like, try to compare yourself, stuff like that. But it's kind of unspoken, but, like, everybody kind of understands it. But now, been, like, 2 weeks since I started working out, 2.5, and, like, it's pretty dope. People here are really cool, and, like, everybody's with the same agency. So we got, like, dinners together. We got, like, a lounge that we all chill, play Madden, stuff like that. So it's pretty dope. Dudes here are cool. There's a lot of guys from all over the country. So
how many guys is it?
Total, I think it's like 20, but it's funny, like, a lot of us have played each other, so it's like a elephant in the room, and then, like, somebody brings it up and it's like, we smacked y'all. Like, there's dude from Cincinnati here.
Damn.
We were lifting together and I was like talking trash to him while he was lifting. He's like, all right, that's okay, it doesn't matter, we smacked y'all during the season. And I'm like, I can't even say that. There's a lot going on, but y'all been straight?
Cool, smooth. We actually been chilling, bro. We haven't been doing much. We haven't had football. We've had one meeting all week. So it was just like school, come home, chill, play video games, play NCAA 14.
How that PS5 treating you?
PS5. I played the 360 more than I played the PS5, honestly.
You run a little tournament lately, NCAA 14.
Austin still got my PS5. Got to take it back so we can play Fortnite together.
I'm going to come back and whoop some ass.
That's cap. Bro, I won one game. I'm like 1-20.
Cam's probably the worst player. Cam's definitely the worst player in the crib.
I'm 9-0 against Cam.
Oh, yeah,
Cam.
I'm the right worst now. Player in the crib for sure.
I'm 2-1 against Cage. Cage got me yesterday.
How's the weather been out there, boys?
I mean, this hasn't been bad in terms of snow-wise. It's just been cold, like so cold. We haven't really had like workouts and stuff, so you're not getting up super early, and it's a lot colder in the morning, so that's been fine.
I think it's been smooth. I mean, I was coming from Arizona. I had stayed in Arizona a week after the game with my girlfriend, and then I was coming from like 70 to like 10, but later in the week it like lightened up, so it was smooth.
I didn't have a scraper the first night, so I had to use a toilet bowl cleaner to scrape
on my car.
Well, it's because I dropped my car.
On my car.
To get it fixed or whatever. So I had to...
Hold on. Did you use my toilet bowl cleaner?
Is it gray?
Is it in my room?
No. It was in the garage. It was in the garage.
Laid that joint on the ground. Typical KJ.
Bro, it's already in the garage. It's already in the garage. So I'm like, I'm just going to just put this in here. But I bought a scraper though.
Bro, like, I'm not even trying to flex like that. But like out here, it's like 72 and like sunny every day. And like people say, like, I'm not trying to be like that because I know there's snow on the ground out there. But bro, when people say like that seasonal depression stuff is like real, like I feel like it's definitely real the opposite way too. Because like we'll just wake up, like, it's 70, the birds chirping, it's sunny, like, the hills, and, like, huge, like, place with nice music.
Not even gritty no more, bro. He's not even gritty no more, bro. He's privileged, bro.
Wake up, bro.
70 degrees, chilling.
drinking your coffee, bro.
Bro, guys, no, that's real stuff, though. And, like, you'll be driving, like, you finish workout, get off the field, get back in your whip, windows down, sun out, and then we go to, like, we'll go to Malibu, get a beach workout in. And, like, you see all the hills, and, like, I'm like, bro, there's not a worry in the world right now. It's crazy.
Oh, my.
Right, I'm going to be waking up and starting my car as soon as I wake up so I can get down there. It's warm.
do you actually think that's, like, a seasonal depression? Because I don't know. For some reason, I'm not a huge believer in that.
I think so, for real. Because, like, I feel like you appreciate the day more, like, just with good weather and, like, good vibes. And it's not, like, I'm not trying to shit on the Midwest, but, like,
yeah,
you don't see the sun a lot, like, it's cold, and they kind of, like, you know, in the movies, like, when somebody's just going through life and, like, the day speeds up and they just, like, look up and, like, 20 days have passed.
Yeah,
I feel like it's kind of like that. Like, that's how it was at Notre Dame sometimes. I'm not saying it's a terrible thing, but, like, you kind of get in a different zone where it's just like,
well, that's why we would take the vitamin D pills, because you don't get vitamin D from the sun, and, like, that contributes to you having, like, serotonin and all those type of levels. So it's actually, like, there's a scientific explanation for seasonal depression as well.
I don't know, for some reason, I don't think I've really gotten it. I just think it'll be like, bro, it's cold, but, like, it is what it is. It's always like, it is what it is. Yeah, I think I just, maybe I've just gotten used to being depressed.
But I'm sad all the time.
I'm just sad all the time. I don't know,
I really felt that.
I'm not gonna lie, I think I definitely get affected by it, because when we went out to Cali to play Stanford, and we went through, like, the shakeout or the walkthrough, whatever.
Yeah.
We were out there on the field. I'm like, bro. Like, coming from here, I was, like, cold and, like, you know what I'm saying, the days were short. Walking out there, I was like, damn, I feel like running around, like, just, you know what I'm saying, just being outside. So,
yeah, true.
Yeah, it was definitely.
I definitely feel like Gunna album hit different listening to it, like, under the sun. Like, it's.
Whatever.
I feel like I'm not guessing. I felt
that's
like
pee?
Like you get
that's
a whiff. No, this weather out here is
that's pee.
Pee. No.
That's pee. That's play.
We Googled it. It's like it rains like 30 days a year out here.
And it rains for not long either.
Yeah, it's like an hour of rain.
Where exactly are you at?
I'm in Westlake, so it's probably 20-25 from downtown LA. It's like 15 from Malibu, and then like Calabasas is like right here. It's like crazy. And so I'm like rolling through Malibu. That's what I'm saying, like, good vibes. And I'm rolling through through Calabasas, and I started playing 4 p.m. in Calabasas by Drake. I'm just like looking around like, oh, this shit,
bro, you're so corny, bro. That's the corniest dude, bro. You're corny as hell.
That is corny, but like,
that's corny.
That's real stuff though.
Kyle, you gotta go down to Manhattan Beach, man. Say hi to the old crib for me.
Yeah. For those who don't know, Connor's a Cali boy at heart.
he's an Indiana boy.
Indiana.
I only lived there for a year.
You a Philly boy at heart, bro.
No, I am Philly.
Connor's right, from everywhere. Connor's from the East Coast, West Coast, and Midwest.
Connor worldwide. International rat.
That's just national.
That's just national. Patriotic rat.
Let's wrap about Oklahoma State a little bit, though.
Yeah, let's go.
Oklahoma State.
Facts.
What's your opinions, thoughts,
inputs? We've been so long since we played the game. I'm, like, thinking about it, and I'm, like, honestly, besides their tempo, like, and a couple other things, like, we had it schemed up. Like, we were smooth. I think we had a good week of prep. Practice was good. The scheme was good. I think, I mean, obviously, you saw what we did in the first half. And like you said, you always got to finish games. But, like, I feel like what we had going, I just think it just kind of fell apart slowly, and it was just because of the tempo, and we had a hard time rotating and things like that. But besides that, I feel like we schemed it up as best we could. You feel what I'm saying?
Kyle, the first half was so much fun of that game. And in the walkthrough on Friday, before, we had this play where if we audibled and they checked down, like, man coverage, it was like whatever, it was something. And I'm not going to say the name of the play, but we checked down, they audibled it, or they went into the coverage. I'm like, all right, so we called it. It was a play Chris Tyree scored on.
Mm-hmm. He was wide.
And we were like, let's go, right? And then, like, we were so high on life at that point. And then, obviously, the second half, it's just, it was one of those games where until the clock hit zero, I didn't think we were gonna lose.
Yeah.
Especially after Foskey's strip fumble. I'm like, bro, all right, so we just went through all this. You know what I'm saying? Foskey got a strip sack, right. a strip fumble. I'm like, we gotta go down and score at this point.
The guy was like about to run in the end zone, and I don't know who was it, Kaiser?
It was Drew White.
Oh, the one Ramon guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was crazy.
I think just from a big picture perspective, I think we're all spoiled. Our fan base, our coaches, and us, because, like, again, there was no point throughout the whole prep or even in the game. I'm like, bro, we're going to lose this game.
Yeah, I never
thought. We started off so hot, and obviously we stalled out towards the end, and that's totally on us. I'm not trying to blame that on anybody, but I just feel like we're spoiled because, like, I was thinking about it. I was talking to somebody, actually Davis, about this. We lost two games this year, and it feels like, I mean, obviously we lost a championship, and that's, like, a huge accomplishment, and this, that, and third, but I, like, just thinking big picture, like, we had a great season. Like, a lot of things changed. Like, we started off with Florida State. We didn't have our best game. But the season moving forward, we slowly progressed. And we didn't finish the way we wanted to finish. And, yeah, there was a lot of distractions, like coaching changes and this, that, and third. But
yeah.
I respect Freeman for even being able to get in that position and have the play the game that he played. And, it didn't go our way, obviously. But I don't know. It's more celebratory for me at this point, like, the – like, right after the game, I was pretty pissed. The week after, I was still pretty pissed. But I think the game's enough far along that I can think about that along with the season, not just that as a L at the end of our season.
That's crazy you say that, because it's like, I remember at the very beginning of camp, we were always talking about workouts, summer workouts even. Like, at the end of them, everyone was talking about, and I know, Kyle, you would definitely remember this, but, like, people were like, this is not a reloading year type thing. And I really feel like throughout the season, like, just being here for 3 years, I feel like this is the closest team I've ever been a part of. Like, there's no seniority, there's no patriarch, there's no, you know what I'm saying? Like, every guy in the building, I felt like, treated each other with respect. Like, there's no superstars, like, mentally in our team, you know what I'm saying? Like, everybody was cool with everybody, and it wasn't real cliquish. But everyone's talking about how it wasn't a reloading year, and some people may look at it because we lost two games, but, like, I feel like the progression we made with all the things we had holding us back, like the coaching changes and, like, things like that, I feel like the progression we made as a team throughout the season is going to set us up for some real stuff next year. Some real stuff, for real.
What was your perspective, like, Kyle, of the game that you didn't play?
Yeah, I'll touch on that, but I just wanted to, like, go off KJ first. Like, when people said, like, the reloading stuff, I feel like that narrative kind of came from just the people that we were losing, just, like, the names and, like, what they meant to Indy. Like, prior to when we got there, and even, like, our first 2 years, like, we lost, like, Ian, Dalen Hayes, all the O-linemen, Liam, Tommy, Rob Hainsey, Claypool the year before that, Fink. Like, these are, like, people
who are, like, important positions.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, these are, like, Indy modern-day legends, like, people who have associated these players with Indy football, and then they're gone, so they just automatically assume, like, all right, they're going to have to rebuild, but what other people don't understand is, like, people just have that kind of notion about us. Like, they're led by the strong. Like, that's what Coach Freeman says, and, like, led by a lot of older guys. Whereas people say, like, Bama reloads talent was. Like, we do the same thing, but it's just, like, people don't kind of see it like that just because we're Notre Dame. And I think that that's where that narrative came from. We just proved them wrong. Like, we have the same amount of talent. We just came in, do the same thing. Great players leave. Great players come and get opportunities. Like, Sean leaves last year, Sean Crawford, who's been here for 6 years, and, like, people step in. Like, Cam, you step in, like, PJ Brown, other people who are, like, good players, and then come in and kind of make their own name for themselves. So I think that's, like, how we proved everybody wrong.
And to go off that, even losing you, like, you're probably, like, not to, like, give you a big head or anything, like, but be realistic, you're probably one of the best safeties that ever came through here. And we lost you in the middle of the season. But if we would lost you Florida State week, I think the outcome would have been different because we didn't have the players ready at that time.
Right.
But I think throughout the season, we matured so much that losing you after USC and having players, even if it was two, Ramon and X, like, step in to fill your shoes, and it wasn't that big of a drop off, this shows the maturity and how far along we've came as a team.
Yeah.
I think that also goes to attest to the fact of how just indie players carry themselves, and even, like, players you've seen as, like, best players on a team, like me, Kyron, like, these guys aren't playing, and it's like, we don't carry ourselves like we're that big of a deal. Other people on the team see us as, like, our boys, and so it's like, when your boy goes down, it's not like, oh shit, like Kyle Hamilton's not playing. It's like, all right, Kyle's not playing. It's just DJ's turn to step in, or like X for Mo. Like it's just like,
yeah,
yeah, exactly. And it's not like the world's going to shit, but it's just like, we're his boys. We're right there with him, and like we know what to do, know how to do it. We step in, like it's not that big a deal within the program.
I think the way we prepare is like a big, like a testament to that. You know, we have a very good system, you know, with former coach and coach now, of how like you prepare for games, like the Monday through Saturday schedule. And I think the way that we do it with Freeman now, everyone practices like a lot. Like there's just like a lot of reps. Like everyone gets reps, right? I think that's great, because let's say someone goes down, right? Well, these guys had all these reps in practice, right? All these reps in bull prep. When we were young, like we didn't have the same practices like that, you know? Like we weren't getting the same reps. And then let's say something goes down, like you got to go in. You're like, I don't even, I can do this, but I haven't repped it enough. Like purely muscle memory just isn't there. Yeah. I think with Freeman now, it's going to be even better in terms of if someone goes down, then like you can they'll be able to fill in. They'll just be better prepared for it.
I also want to speak on like a sensitive topic. Like this kind of annoyed me, and y'all hear it enough, like with the whole like fan, quote unquote fan thing and how I feel about it. But now this kind of annoyed me because like, so Freeman got hired and the whole world was like behind him. This one game doesn't go their way.
His first game.
Yeah, his first game, who he had a month to prepare for. And I'm not trying to like make this a pity or anything like that. Like obviously he lost a game. He's a man enough to say, I lost a game, I didn't do enough, blah, blah, blah. But just to put it into perspective, he was put in the position 1 month before the game, prepared his team and prepared our ass off and gave us the tools to be able to at least try to succeed in that game. But besides that, after he loses his game, like just the media and what people are trying to convey him as a bad coach. And I'm like, bro, just 30 days ago, you guys were like, oh, this is a great hire, just had a third. Nice. We love Freeman error, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, we blew a huge game. Since 1991, we haven't blown a game once we up like 21 points or something like that. Something crazy. It's just kind of annoying to see that people like are so quick to turn, and they are so, and yeah, y'all going to hear me talk about the fans a lot probably this spring because I got a lot to talk about it. But it's just kind of annoying because like so many people are uneducated on really what's going on, but their opinions, I can like shape the picture, like social media, like sports media, it's becoming like so like polarizing that can shape someone's image. Like if a person doesn't really know who Marcus Freeman is and just look up Marcus Freeman and they see bashing, 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 that can shape their opinion. I mean,
that's the power of social media. That's the power of, but that's the thing. Like it can shape someone's image in a bad way. It can shape someone's image in an overly good way. Yeah. Well, like, you know what I'm saying?
He had to step in that position and he not only had to like get the defense ready and fulfill his role that he's already been doing all season, which was a great one all season long, but he also had to prepare on the offensive side of the ball and special teams side of the ball. And then while also doing that, he had to implement his style of coaching, his philosophy, his culture, and get us to believe in him and respect him enough to be able to want to play for him.
He even also had to put other people that weren't in jobs they were in before, move them up. Like you talk about Coach Lozinski, like wasn't a special team coach before this. You know what I'm saying? Like this, like other people, it didn't even just affect him. Like his job, him going to do his job, like other people had to fall in line too. He had to get other people to believe in themselves that they were capable to do other things.
Yeah. I mean, he wasn't even here for a full calendar year and he had to do all that stuff.
Yeah.
Like, imagine going to a new job, like everyone is new, and you gain everyone's trust throughout this winter and spring, right? And then you're the head coach going to the bowl game. That is unbelievably hard to do.
Exactly.
You know, like having to do like what you guys, both of you just said, like new coaches, like he has to integrate everybody while he has to look for other coaches while preparing for a game that he, I don't know. It's
tough duty. And I'm not saying that he wasn't ready for it because he was 100% ready for it.
Definitely ready for it.
What shakes my bones the most is just like when people.
Yeah. Shake your bones, grind your gears.
Yeah, buy my gear, shake my balls, all that, bro. All that, bro. It's kind of disrespectful in a way. Like people, I don't know.
It's disrespectful to the work that people put in. Let's break it down for people. I mean, like, let's just start with the season ends, right? Last game is Stanford. We come back. I think we took, a few days off. At this point, we're working out probably twice a week. Yeah. Probably had like
three times.
Yeah. Three times.
The Tuesday after Stanford is when Coach Kelly left also.
Right. And so that was going on. Freeman gets put in the spot. So at this point, we're just working out three times. We're not necessarily practicing. We're just working out with Bailey's. I think we had a run one time.
Mm.
So like just call it a week. We didn't really do any football related activities. Next week comes in. You got Freeman. He has to, like you said, implement his culture. You know what I'm saying? So his culture has to come in. You know, we start with the team meeting. Obviously, everyone's seen the video of us in the locker room and how Freeman walked in, and everyone's excited. And that was real, by the way. I don't know. A lot of people were questioning that. Like that was at stage. Like,
your brand new head football coach.
Kind of talk about like that morning. Like, so basically it was disguised
as a team run.
A stadium run. In the middle of the season, which is
absurd.
It's absurd. It doesn't really make a whole lot of sense, but we're all like, I guess we got to do it. Obviously, you know what I'm saying? That's what we do. But we come in the locker room. We're all getting dressed for the run. There's some murmurs talking about we may not be doing the workout. Everybody's kind of like, maybe, I don't know, whatever. We're still getting dressed. It's early. It's like 7:30 in the morning, 7 o'clock.
Early.
We're all dressed in the workout gear, green workout gear. Freeman walks in. Now we're lit because it's like, we're definitely not doing it. We're not doing it.
Bayless walks in and he gives that little speech first. Yeah, and then I knew all along.
I knew we weren't running.
One of the uppers told me, like, no, we're not running.
We couldn't have been doing that. But that was kind of like, okay, Freeman's in, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is his stuff now. You know what I'm saying? This is the team, is our culture now. This is what we got going on. And we already kind of, him being a DC, from the defensive side, we definitely knew him. Offensive guys, I was kind of interested to see how the offensive guys would.
They were foreign. It's like not a stranger, but like they didn't know much about
right,
Freeman.
Right, because I mean, people don't really know. We don't spend a whole lot of time. Like the offense doesn't spend a whole lot of time. Offense and defense doesn't spend a whole lot of time together in general besides practice, right? Mm-hmm. So I was interested to see how the offensive guys received him. And it was crazy how much, I almost felt like the offense liked Freeman more than defense at some point. I'm like, damn, all right. But that kind of came in. Then we get into practice. And it was a complete shift from Kelly's practices.
Yeah.
And I know we talked about it. Freeman's philosophy was more get in, get out. But while you're in, you're working. You know what I'm saying? You always talked about, what was it, the workload per minute?
Yeah.
So
we had 13 practices, I think, from when the week KJ said after the Stanford game, like the following week, we had 13. I think the first 8 of them were like the just straight work. It wasn't necessarily scout yet. First 6, something like that.
No, it was first 6.
First 6 was just first like, six. Well, there was no scout. It was just like,
yeah.
Well, the 14 periods is
just going out. Yeah. You got 1-on-1s, 7-on-7, run PAP, which is basically a scrimmage. You got 11 on. And then at the end, we'll do basics, which basics is like get the guys that don't normally get the guys that aren't like the 1s and 2s and don't really get a lot of reps. Let them do football things, you know what I'm saying?
And there's the championship finisher.
Yeah, the championship finisher. Let's start with the openings, the practice openings. So we have like little competitions between like the offense and defense of like doing things with, as far as like, we'll like go kick a field goal or something like that. Like we'll call random people out. Fun stuff to compete, you know what I'm saying, and get everybody's energy into it. And then boom, practice will start. So we do that. 14 periods. And then
we have a championship finish. So we start the practice with like a competitive drill, but that's on the more fun side because nobody's really loose at that point. So it's like more so just to get everybody's energy up and get everybody in good spirits. And then at the end, that's when it really gets heated up because it's like 1s versus 2s or 3s versus 2s or it's something competitive where it's 11-on-11, you got to score or you got to stop the offense. And that's what we enjoyed the most. Like I enjoyed like getting those reps. Like I didn't get those type of reps like all season basically.
Yeah.
And
practice definitely.
Yeah. And I just feel like as a competitor, I grew so much more in that 13 or 16 practices?
Yeah. Something.
Because that's what we're practicing, like being a competitor, being the warrior type thing.
I mean,
so
you guys probably got more 1-on-1s on offense reps in those 6 practices than we've got in like all season.
Yes.
And I think that's good. I don't know.
And I think it showed in the first half of the game. I really don't think I really don't think we had a bad game. I really just felt like they had the best tempo in college football. And it's like, you can't replicate that in practice.
The best we've seen so far.
You can't replicate that in practice. Like, it's
fast.
I think the stat was they run a play like every, they only have like 4 or 5 seconds off the game clock by the time they run the next play.
Bro, which one of you guys told me in the second half, we ran like crazy amount of plays? 66. You, Kyle?
Yeah, it was like 68 plays, something like that.
Yeah, we usually do that in a game.
That's right. Like a full game, yeah.
It's
and like, bro, it's also with Elston calling plays, no offense to Coach Elston, but he's never called plays before. And to call plays against the team running tempo, like, it's going to be tough. And I mean, he's trying to put himself in the best position possible. And like, I found myself like in the stands at the game, like trying to see the signaler, like who the signaler was, so I could get the play and like see like what y'all were doing on the field. And it's just like, it's definitely hectic, but I don't know. I like found myself as like a glorified fan.
You know,
were they talking trash in the stands, or were you sitting around a lot of indie fans or family?
I was around a bunch of indie people, but like, it was like from my experiences being in the stands, it was weird. And I was on the field the first half. I actually have a funny story about that. So I'm trying to figure out how to get down the field. Kyron's on the field, and I'm texting him like, "How'd you get on the field?" And he's like, "I walked through the side, like through the tunnel." I'm like, "All right, well, I'm the opposite end of the tunnel. I can't get there." And then I just walk down to like the railing to jump onto the field, and Viv, like, our, not trying to put him on the spot, Viv, our like ops guy, he's like, "Yeah, just jump. I'll help you get down. Just jump over the railing." So I had like credentials, but like, I couldn't have a way to get down. So I jumped over the railing to get onto the field. Next thing I know, like 10 minutes goes by, and there's like 5 security guards. They're talking to Officer Heater, who's like our team, like security. And they're like, he has to like leave the stadium, like, because he jumped. They thought I was like somebody storming the field or something like that. So they're like, he has to leave, like, get out of the damn stadium. I was like, bro, like, I'm not, you should have
seen how leaving. His face was like, he was like on his phone, like, he's not texting nobody. Yeah. He's like, he's
texting people. Like, was, bro, this when you were behind? Up, was this, bro, when you were behind the bench? Because I know you were behind the BB bench, and I'm like, the dude's fucked up on you.
No, he's like, they're all like discussing like whether or not I'm allowed to stay or not. And Peter's like, just stay where you are, don't move around the sideline. So I had to like just stay put on the sideline, like within this 5-foot area. And they came with me like 10 minutes later, he's like, "You're good," but like, no, they're trying to kick me out. And then I went up in the stands the second half. But one thing I like noticed walking through the stadium, like, obviously, like, fans like recognized me, and like, they were like, "Thank you for everything you've done for Indy." Like, they were being like really dope about it. Like, I appreciate all the fans for that. But it was like, it didn't really like set in to that point. Like, I'm watching a Notre Dame game. Like, I'm not on like suited up. Like, I'm not with my boys. And like, people are saying like, "Thank you for everything you've done for Indy." And I'm like, damn, like, I'm really like not going to play ever again to Notre Dame. And it's like, crazy. It's like a little bittersweet. But like, in the moment, I was like, yeah, I'm going to take like every picture I can, like every like cherished moment, like everybody, like with you guys, obviously. I don't know, it was weird, but it was also fun at the same time, just to watch you guys ball from a different perspective.
Talk about that whole thing. Like, I don't know if we talked about it last podcast or not, but just like the backlash you received for not playing. Like, and then obviously we lost. So I seen people like, "Well, the game would have went differently if Kyle and Kyron would have played and this, that, and there." Like, how do you feel about that?
Obviously people are gonna have things to say, and like, no, I mean, it's shit, but when we first announced that we were playing, of course, and I think Indy's a program, because Coach Freeman told us, like, "We don't know how to handle this because you're the first 2 people to ever do this." And I didn't think about it like that. I was like, I guess nobody in Notre Dame has ever like opted out of playing in a game. And you can't, I mean, obviously you would hope that they see you from a different perspective, but if you're a lifelong Indy fan who's 60 years old, been a Notre Dame fan for life, got accustomed to this certain era of football, and then we're the first 2 people to do it, and like, they obviously see it from a different perspective. But there are also a lot of people who are like happy for you guys, support your decision, stuff like that. But after the game, obviously after we lost, Kyron, like, I hadn't been on social media, and Kyron FaceTimed me, and he was like, "Bro, have you checked your Instagram or Twitter?" And I was like, "No." And he was like, "People are like coming at my neck, like saying like, you never welcome again on Indy's campus. Like, everything that you've done for Notre Dame to this point. They're like, everything you've done at Notre Dame to this point is like, is gone. Like,
according to the Notre Dame gods, you cannot walk on this campus anymore.
Yeah, no, they're, but I mean, it was crazy. Like, so for the next week, it was like, we would have won this and that. And like, who's to say that? Like, we can't even say, like,
I don't understand. What do they get like a sense of like gratification? Oh, I'm going to DM Kyle Hamilton, say you should have played. Like, the game already happened. So what is that going to do?
I already know what that does for me, bro. I'll be on it, bro.
Yeah.
I hate it, bro.
I don't know. Can't go on social media.
Yeah, I can't. My bad. Go ahead, Kyle.
No, I was just saying, like, it's annoying, but at the same time, I see where I don't agree with what they're saying, but like, because some people would be like, yeah, I was a fan, but now, like, I'm never going to root for you again. Like, I'm like,
never going to root for you again.
Okay. And man, like,
that hurts.
What people didn't understand is, like, they thought, like, after I got hurt against USC, like, I just decided not to play for the rest of the season. Like, I could have played next week against whoever we played next week. Next week, who was it? UNC?
Yeah.
I think we played after USC. And in my head, I'm like, I was actually like hurt. Like, I couldn't, the first game I could have possibly played in was the bowl game. And whether that be a playoff or whatever. But no, people are going to have their opinions all the time. Like, as you get higher in football, I assume it just only gets worse. But it's what it is. And I'm happy with my decision. And I'm sure that the minority of people who are hating.
It's like unfortunate because. Did you guys watch the, what game was it? The Ole Miss and Baylor game? Do you guys watch that?
Mm-hmm. I didn't.
Oh, yeah. What, Corral?
Matt Corral, he.
Oh, yeah. We did watch that game together.
We're at like the post game party.
Yeah.
Pressure again, and they get to him. Corral is struggling to get to his feet. He is in pain.
That's just like an example of something that I assume you saw that too, Kyle. I think he's okay. I don't think it turned out to be that bad.
He's with Kyle right now.
His ankle, not his knee.
I think, right?
Yeah, he's out here right now.
He's an ankle. So that, it's just like scary stuff. Like when you're, I don't know. So people have to see that and respect the decision, you know?
Yeah. And I think the commentator during the game was like, he gets my respect for this or something. Cause like playing the game, like he's going to be a high draft pick, but like got hurt. And that's just what I don't understand. That's complete fan perspective because you know, everybody's family situation. Like, why would you jeopardize putting your family in this position for, a game. Obviously, it's a huge game, but like all the, I don't want to like bring up Jalen Smith because like I made my own decision. I'm not basing it off somebody else's, but like it was like Notre Dame in the Fiesta Bowl. It was Notre Dame Fiesta Bowl again. Like all this, I don't know. It felt like a little like too close to home kind of thing. Like too much like bad memories and stuff like that. But like if it was a playoff game, we've already said this. Like I'm playing. Like I'm trying to win a national championship and like. And knock on wood, I get hurt in a playoff game. I'm like, all right, well, I was trying to help my team win a championship, but all right. I don't know. It's just different. Yeah. Everybody has different opinions, different scenarios.
Man, that's kind of crazy. Like what happened to dude from Alabama? That sucks, bro.
Williams? Yeah.
Because he was supposed to be like a top.
Yeah, player, bro. Right? That's terrible.
Yeah.
Crazy. But I mean, for the playoffs at least, you know what I'm saying?
Mm. Yeah. I could go to sleep at night knowing that I got hurt. Playing for national championship.
Yeah, I feel that. So, how'd you guys like Arizona?
Arizona was live.
I loved it. Arizona was lit.
It wasn't even that warm though. I was kind of bummed. Like
it got warm the week when after y'all left.
It was warm that Sunday. We all left. It was warm. Like of course, right? Of course, the
entire week. You know, it was like 70.
Bring the cold weather.
Yeah,
I liked it though.
It's always funny after the bowl game. I'm not going to disclose any information, but like you get to see a side of people that you didn't see the whole season. Like it's pretty funny. Yes. Like, and it's like, damn, you were cool this whole time.
Like, yeah, bro.
Post game party. It's fun.
It was fun. And you get to hang out with like the staff and the faculty and it's like, jeez, this is
dope. We were able to meet up with Zay, you know? So that was kind of funny.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Shout out Zay. Met all his people, his girlfriend, Ken. Nice people. Great people. Love Arizona.
Good people.
Yeah, good people.
Yeah. Got some really nice golf courses. When we were flying in, like when we were getting lower, and I saw like three or four, I'm like, damn, these are really pretty courses. Like, I gotta make it down here to golf sometime.
Let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah.
You sure, KJ?
Got KJ up first. practice swing. It's okay.
I mean, we ain't got, I don't know if y'all seen the video, but if anybody's seen the video and you're out there and you're looking to coach, you provide some lessons, help anybody out with golf, please. I'm the guy to help out. So just let me know. Let me know. I mean, it was cool. I like golfing. I'm just bad at it. So I mean, it is what it is. And the course is nice.
It was kind of a difficult course. There's a good amount of water. And KJ and water doesn't bode well often.
Well, me and the ball don't bode well. It ain't even about the water.
I don't think you'll see anyone more dedicated to getting better at golf than Cam Hart. He's always in our family room. He's like, sling it. Foam ball.
That's Tiger Hood right there.
Tiger Hood, bro. I'm trying to be good, bro. I'm trying. I'm getting there, bro.
Now you played you got to work hard.
You said what?
Golf is like one of those things, like anybody can go shoot a layup and make. But like nobody really.
I just missed my first layup yesterday when I tried to take it.
You should have seen the shot. But like if you try to like chip a golf ball, like that's equivalent to a layup, like or putt, like it's not equivalent at all. Like your grip, all this stuff. Like that's gotta be the hardest sport to just pick up out of nowhere.
Right.
Oh yeah.
You been playing while you out there?
I played like twice. It's like the course out here.
He was just playing yesterday.
I said twice.
On a simulator.
So that was all right. That doesn't count. It's a simulator.
You got a simulator in the facility?
How many times have you hit that simulator? What?
You got a simulator?
I hit it every day, but I'm probably going to lose photo like 3 hours.
Every day.
You probably spend like 2 hours on that during the day.
Oh, yeah.
You got nothing else to do.
I'll be working. That's half the reason I decided to come out here.
Anyone else a good golfer out there that you're training with?
There's a few, but like seeing like the dudes who've never picked up a golf club in their life seeing golf club, you'd be like the best athlete ever. Like, dude jumped 40 inches in the air, but can't swing this golf club to save his life. It's kind of funny. It's humbling for sure.
Yeah, that's one sport that's humbling, bro. It's
humbling.
That'll put you in your place, bro. And as soon as you think you're getting better, no.
One going back.
I think a perfect example is the last hole that we're playing in Arizona. Cam has a really good drive and a really good approach shot. And he's putting for Eagle, actually.
I was putting for Eagle.
He's like, oh, I got this. And I was like, all right. And he puts it like way past it. He's like, no, I'll get this time. He puts it way past it.
I was like, bro, this joint will humble you so quick.
This might be my best hole of the day. You feel me? Try to get my Eagle. And that is too hard.
Oh, hell no.
Yeah. And I played every day. So I stayed in Arizona. I stayed in Scottsdale the week after everybody left for winter break. And we played like every other day. Every other day was a good day for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to get better, though.
I can see myself living in Arizona when I'm older. It's nice.
So?
I like the houses.
I definitely want to live there.
I like the houses. It's cool.
Speaking of living somewhere else, that'd be good. Transition to outside of garage.
Yeah, let's hit that.
Hold on.
Let me tell you, if anyone's listening to this podcast and you live in Arizona, watch out for the javelinas.
You want to talk about the javelinas?
So Grace and I are driving to our house.
We need a picture of this, by the way.
Yeah, we can pull up a picture. But Grace and I are driving to our house.
Let me Google this. Bro, what the freak is this, bro?
Yeah,
is
that a pig? It's a mutant, bro. It's a crossbreed, dog.
Bro, I didn't know. That's crazy.
They're ugly.
So we're driving to our house, and we like see like 8 of them just in the street chilling, bro. And like I looked up videos. They'll chase you. They'll jump at you. All that. So no.
There was 8 of them.
Yes, it was like a little family. It was like mom, dad, little kids.
There was a whole little pack. Yes. How big were they?
Like, bro,
these are pretty big.
Yeah, that's like a lab.
Yes.
It's like the size of a lab.
Practically like a not as long, but dude, this thing's a little huge. Bit stepped on, but.
Yo, they're ugly. I don't even know what to say. They look like they're just ugly to me.
So that's one thing that might make me not move to Arizona.
You ever played the heard of that.
You know what? I was about to say, you ever played the Black Ops one where you gotta snap the dog's neck when he bites you? What would you do if one of those ran up on you? I'd just
kick it.
Slide. I'd just start running.
Oh bro.
What if it's faster than you?
I don't like the little animals.
Sidebar, saddest moment in movie history is I Am Legend when he has the spoiler alert. If you haven't watched I Am Legend, Spoiler alert. It's a great movie. Podcast for like 20 seconds.
It's a great movie.
But when he, obviously, everybody knows what I'm saying, when he has to kill his dog, bro. I remember I was like 8 years old watching it. And I'm like, no, like I'm crying. Like, that was bad. I was like,
do you have to?
Have everybody seen
that? Nah, he definitely had to.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if a spoiler alert is like good for that. It's the movie's like 15 years old.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? I take back the spoiler alert. That movie is
If you haven't seen that, bro.
If you haven't seen it,
that's disrespectful to the movie industry.
You really just you uncultured that.
So first outside the garage question comes from sc.r33. Would you live outside the U.S. for a year? If so, where?
100%. Great question.
I guess you got to start that joint, Kyle.
If I could live outside the U.S., am I living my normal life, or do I like?
Yeah, you
like adapt to where I'm living.
Let's say we're like 30. We're all retired from the NFL.
You just vibing. You got a lot of bread.
You got your girlfriend.
Your wife.
I'd probably go to like Sweden or something like that and just chill like up there. Like it's really pretty. A lot of like nature stuff to do. Just cool it. Like make like a wood stove and cook like bison on it or something like that.
Bison.
A wood stove.
Like probably something to disconnect like from everything.
For a year? You would do that for a year?
Yeah, I could do that for a year and just change my lifestyle for a little bit and get back to society. Because like, I wouldn't want to go to like Paris for a year like that. You could do that whenever. I want to go somewhere exotic.
Okay. I don't think Sweden's exotic.
All right, one of Sweden, Finland. What's the other one?
Iceland.
Greenland.
Iceland, something Norway? Like that.
Norway's
where the Vikings be at. That's where I'm trying to be at.
Iceland. The Vikings?
All ass is a Viking. All
right.
Shield.
That's really funny.
I definitely would for a year. I mean, yeah. But I'm trying to. Beijing would be kind of cool for me.
I was about to say Beijing.
Like Japan. Okay, yo. Yeah.
Yeah, bro.
Beijing. They ain't never seen a dark skinned dude in their life. They didn't even see the dark skin, dude. Have you seen
I'm
the
about
video?
I'm about to be the first. I'm about to be the first to see.
They weren't scared by the cloud mask. They were scared.
They were scared he was black.
Bro, I'd probably go there. The city would be really cool. And I'd want to see the countryside of China. I think that would be kind of interesting to see.
I'm kind of on the same way as Yuka. I think I would want to go somewhere and just disconnect. I would like New Zealand or Australia. I think it would be really cool just because, like, minus the animals in Australia, yes, sex and stuff. I've always, like, wanted to go. I wanted to study abroad in New Zealand, but it didn't work out. But one of those two places and then just, like, completely just disconnect from everything. I don't want to be in, like, a big city or anything. Like, I don't know if I could do Tokyo. It's just, there's a lot going on, but that's just me.
Shit, I'm trying to get lit.
I'm saying
I'm going to Europe, bro.
I feel like you can always do that, though. You know,
you can, but like a year in Europe, like why not, bro? Germany.
What I like about Europe is you can travel to all the different spots easy.
I think so. I would try to try to get me a crib in Germany, and just travel Europe, bro.
It's easy to travel Europe.
An entire year, just chilling.
That's why I study abroad. I'm so jealous of those guys.
G money.
G-Money.
What you saying, I feel like I would be burnt out in like 2 months. I'd be like, bro, I can't do that anymore.
But at the same time, I'll be in Germany, so you can always chill in Germany. It'll probably be cold. Is it cold in Germany?
It's cold. Yeah, bro.
It's cold in Germany.
But you can always kick it. You ain't gotta wild out, but like...
I'm thinking is like you land is just... go for a year, like, and then a year later, you
just get there,
like, no clothes, like, no money.
Hey, what a problem.
I'll try to go to Germany, bro. I think I'll mess with that. Now, go mess with Alex for a little bit.
Alex. I want to see that food you've been talking about.
What is it like? Schnitzel? You should know, Kyle.
What did you German? Say?
Schnitzel or schnitzel?
Did you say schnitzel?
Schnitzel.
Sauerkraut.
Schnitzel.
Yeah.
All that stuff. Cam going on a 1-year bender in Europe.
I'm gonna come back.
I'll come back with clothes. Half an underwear, one sock,
one of my one drinks ear. Out my glasses,
chapped lips,
chapped lips,
no suitcase.
I lost grace.
I lost grace.
On the plane, I swear. took a boat back.
That's funny. What's the second question? How will the future of this podcast look? From at JF Zepeda 9. That you're kind of looking at it.
Is. Yeah.
JF Zepeda.
Yeah. I think this is it, honestly. It's a very 3x1 virtual little joint.
3x1 virtual. I'm on my last thing.
We got Kyle. We got a picture that looks just like you hanging up in your seat.
We didn't even show you, bro. Hold up. Can you want to see it?
Turn your camera. Yeah, turn your camera.
Looks just like you. Like,
bro, it looks just like you, bro.
Bro, what are y'all on?
Bro, it looks just like you. That's your smile and everything. Yeah, like,
that is your smile, bro. A weak ass smile.
Why'd you be weak?
Oh my God.
We drew a weak jet. We drew a shoppy jet.
Nah, but
that's funny. A real answer
to that, you know what I'm saying? This. Not kind of ugly.
And I think even in the year, like when we're all like graduated and things like that, this is probably what it's gonna be like.
Yeah.
Anyway, so
it's cool.
Hopefully it's cool with y'all.
Nah,
this is how it's gonna be.
It's money.
I thought it was gonna be worth a little bit, but
I did too.
It turned out smooth.
Not gonna lie, we started off this podcast a little rusty.
Yeah.
That's probably
a little rusty.
Did it in a while though. I did it in a while. We're like, damn, I don't even know how to do this no more.
Nah. I think a lot of people was questioning like if we are going to do it. So just to answer that question, yes, we're going to still do it.
Of course, yeah.
And we're going to try to keep it as normal as possible as we were.
And we were one of the only podcasts where we were all in the same spot, you know?
Yeah.
For like volume and all that. So doing this, three of us, one spot still, that's not too bad.
Not too bad.
Yeah, my fault.
You feel like an outcast, Kyle?
Damn, Kyle.
Yeah, bro. Like, I'm about to hang up this call and just go play Madden. Y'all about to hang up this call and probably go get a meal, like, chill together, play some NCAA. I'm about to just sit on my couch and eat my Jersey Mike's.
You sound about right.
Honestly, I'm chilling, though. I'm good.
At least I got
living good life, bro. A lot of people would like to be there.
You got the sun. I don't want to hear nothing about
your
sad life over there.
Why don't you go cry at the beach?
Go cry at the beach.
Would
you rather cry at Malibu or cry at South Bend?
You gonna cry? You might as well cry in Malibu, right?
I'm good.
I had to choose.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I think that do it, bro.
All right, that's a wrap.
First,
inside outside garage combo done. Appreciate y'all coming back to listen to us. Hopefully hopefully y'all rock with this new format and we'll keep it pushing. ITG's back.
Don't back. 2.0.
Appreciate y'all.
Appreciate y'all.
Yeah.